in my life. Amen. You all know what I'm talking about. You've been through some giant problems yourselves. Amen. Some of you are going through some giant problems right now. Amen. But praise God, the giants never win. The giants never win. We go through giant struggles. We got struggles in our relationships. We got struggles in our financial situation. We got struggles in our personal relationships. But how about those spiritual struggles that we go through? How about those spiritual struggles that you deal with and that you fight with and that you struggle with from day to day? Never forget, you have an adversary that's always going to stand against you. And sometimes the adversaries will send a giant your way that you have to overcome. Amen. How about your faith? When the giant comes. Amen. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. Amen. How about when the giant problem comes your way? Does your faith waver? Are you ready to run? Or are you ready to say, no, I can't deal with this. No, I can't face this giant. No, I think he's over there. I'm going to get over here. And as long as I get over here, maybe he'll stay over there. Let me tell you something. Your adversary wants to destroy you. And if he sends a giant your way, he sends him because he wants to destroy your hope and your faith and all that you believe. That God is able to do. If he can destroy your faith. Amen. If he can destroy your confidence in God. Amen. He will render you wounded and useless. Spiritually of no good anywhere for anything. Because he that comes to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Amen. It takes faith to please God, but it takes faith to trust God and to walk with God and to depend on God when a giant stands before you. David didn't look at Goliath like everybody else and go crawl in the trenches and hide. David seen the giant, and David knew the giant was defying. David knew the giant was blaspheming. David knew the giant was making a mockery out of his God, and he said, let me tell you what, I'll go fight that giant. And David didn't have to stop and think about it. David didn't have to go get in a few revival meetings to get pumped up. David didn't have to go to a Bible seminary to get learned up. David didn't have to do anything because he already had trusted God. See, God had brought David through a few skirmishes before. David, he told Saul, said, man, I done slew a lion and a bear. He said, this giant, he ain't nothing. Amen. But just another problem that stands between God's people and God's blessings in their lives. Amen. Don't let the devil, don't let the giants, the problems that you have, make you waver in your faith. If anything, when the giants come your way, it ought to draw you closer unto the one that has taught you time and again in times past that he's the one that's able to give you victory in your life. Amen. Amen. How about your spiritual walk? Amen. Matthew 7 says, straight is the gate, or straight is the way and narrow is the gate. That leads to heaven, broadens the way that leads to destruction. As the giant come your way, and as the giant showed you that there's another way that you'd rather go, that's what's happening. Look around you. Look in your church. Where are some of these folks at that were here so faithful? I'll tell you where they're at. The giants done come their way. Amen. The giants done chased them off. The giants done sent them down the wrong path, and they're walking the wrong way. They're looking for the wrong things because they're trying to get away from the giants that have come their way. And they've lost their confidence. They've lost their faith. They've lost the hope that they had in Jesus because a giant has come their way. And the giant seems so much bigger than their God. Amen. Let me tell you something. You can go out here and you can find something that will come between you and the sun and throw a shadow completely over you. You can go out here and you can find something that will block the sun completely out. Amen. But guess what? The sun is still shining. Guess what? The sun is still doing what it is always going to do. God's the same way. The giants come your way sometimes, and the giants hover over you so big and bad sometimes that they seem to cloud out and they block out your vision of the sun. And praise God, before you know it, they done chased you down another path, and you're walking down a broad road, and you're on your way to destruction. Oh, but praise God, those who can see beyond the giant realize that the sun is still shining. The sun is still strong. The sun is still powerful. The sun is still almighty. The sun still delivers. The sun still gives victory. And the sun will help you defeat the giants. Amen. Don't ever let the giant send you the wrong way. How about your peace? You go through these problems and these big giant problems come your way. And all of a sudden, you're just in a turmoil. Your stomach's a-turning. You're inside. You just feel like there's a war raging, and it's going on. Well, one of my favorite verses, probably my go-to verse, in times of adversity, is John 16:33. Jesus said, I've told you these things that in this world you might have, in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Amen. But back in chapter 14, in verse 27, he said, he give you something as a child of God. He said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. I'm glad that the peace that Jesus gives isn't the peace that the world has to offer. You see, the peace that the world offers is only temporal. There might be some peace for a while. Back in the 1930s, British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain came back from a meeting with Adolf Hitler. And he had a roll of paper in his hand, and he held it up and he said, there shall be peace. I have the documents, and they've been signed. Adolf Hitler has signed him. And a few short months later, Adolf Hitler in September of 1939 invaded Poland and set into motion what became known as the Second World War, the greatest war that has ever been fought on the face of the earth. Was no peace. There's no peace in what man can give you. There's no peace in what man can do for you. But praise God, when the giant comes your way and the giant tells you you're about to go under, and the giant tells you that you need to be in fear, and the giant takes your peace away, you need to remind him that you're a child of God, your king, your Lord, your all in all is the very Prince of Peace himself, and he has given you his peace. He's given you his promise of peace. He's given you his feeling of peace in your heart if you would seek it out and search it out and let the giant die where he is. How about your hope? when the giants come your way. Man, it's easy to lose faith in Jesus real easy, real fast. Hey, man, problems come. Well, yesterday he was the greatest thing in the world. I didn't have a problem. Today the giants done showed up, and now he's not all that he was yesterday. You know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like that. Amen. You've been there. The giant shows up, and all the hope you was telling everybody about in Jesus has done went out the door. It don't need to. He's still on the throne. He's still Lord of lords and King of kings. He's still my soon coming Savior. Praise God. Don't let the giant rob you of your blessing. Look, giants are nothing because my God's bigger. And the Lord said unto Moses, fear him not. For I have delivered him into thine hand. Don't let the giants rob you of God's blessings. They're right there on the verge of the blessing. And here comes the adversaries. Here comes the giant. And the people are hindered from the blessing of God. But worst of all, worse than Sion, king of the Amorites, worse than Og, the giant, the king of Bashan, worst of all, I do believe, was Balak, because Balak figured out and he done seen that man alone was not going to defeat God's people. So what did he do? He called for Balaam. He said, because I've heard he whom you bless is blessed and he whom you curse is cursed. Balaam was a man that started out listening to God. He said, I can't do anything but what God tells me to do. Amen. See, Balak knew that he could use religion. You say, man, you preach an awful lot on religion, preacher. You know why? Religion has hindered so many people. Religion is keeping people away from the blessings of God today. Religion is telling people that you can live any old way you want to, go somewhere, say a few Hail Marys, and go live like hell and everything's going to be all right. And people are dying and going to hell. Religion is telling people that you can take people and you can dunk them in a little basin of water or sprinkle a little bit of water over them and everything's going to be all right. And people are dying and going to hell because of religion. Religion's telling somebody that you can strap a suicide vest on you, walk into a group of people, and blow yourself up, and you're going to go to heaven, and everything's going to be all right. And millions of people are splitting hell wide open and missing on the blessing of God. The greatest blessing that God has offered his children isn't a mansion in the glory world. It's not the streets of gold or the crystal sea. It's not the walls of jasper or the gates of pearl. The greatest promise and the greatest blessing that God has offered mankind is salvation. Redemption, sanctification, justification through the blood of his son, his precious lamb that was shed on Calvary. And let me tell you something, you can get wrapped up in your religion and your religion will keep you from the promises and the blessings of God. You can get wrapped up in what you think, feel, and believe and miss out on every promise that God has offered those who are bought with the blood of Jesus. I want you to know something this morning. There's victory in Jesus and you won't find victory victory anywhere else but in Jesus. There's hope in Jesus. There's joy in Jesus. There's peace in Jesus. Amen. Jesus over in Matthew, what was it? Matthew 22 confronts the Pharisees. They were worried because his disciples didn't wash their hands. And Jesus began to dress them down because of their religion. He said, you've got things turned all the way around. He said, God said that when a child cursed its mother or father, they should be taken out and stoned that we might remove evil from among us. He said, but you done said if a kid comes to the parents and no matter what it's done and says, you're just blessed by me because you have me and because I am your child, you're blessed and you ought to just thank me that you have me because you're blessed because of me. He said, you've got it all wrong. He said, well, did Isaiah prophesy against you, saying, as people draw nigh to me with their mouth, but their heart's far from me. Folks, religion is keeping people away from God. They're keeping people away from His promises, His blessings, His desire for your life. Because we've got all wrapped up in what we think, feel, or believe. And if it don't line up with this precious old book right here, it don't mean anything. It's going to hinder you. And it's going to keep you. And that's just what Balak did. He called the man that he heard could get a hold of God. He called him to come and curse God's people. And he said, all I can do is whatever God tells me to do. And God sent him out to pronounce a blessing. And he took him from one mountain to another mountain to another mountain. And every time God pronounced a blessing. And he said, I told you I could only do what God told me to do. But folks are allowing religion. And that's just what Balak did. He was trying to hinder the blessings of God upon his people. And he was cursing God's people. The Pharisees were teaching the teachings of men for the teachings of God. And when you read Matthew chapter number 22 and you begin reading down through, Matthew chapter 15, I'm sorry, verses 4 to 9, read down through there, and you begin to see the contrast between God's word and man's word. You see the contrast between a true religion and a true relationship. You see the difference between how religion works on the outside and God in his relationship works on the inside. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. There's a big difference between having a right relationship with God and having religion. Religion will keep you from the promises of God. Religion will keep you from the blessings of God. Religion will keep you from what God wants for your life. What God wants for your life? He wants you to be born again. Amen. Why do you need to be born again? Because you wasn't born right the first time. Amen. What does it mean to be born again? Well, the first time you was born in sin and with a sin nature. Amen. To be born again means that you're born of his blood, born because his son died and shed his blood, that you might have a spiritual blood transfusion, a spiritual heart change, and be born and birthed into his family. That's exactly what it means. You need to be born again that you might become a son of God. Sister Amber, let's give a song of invitation.